sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the Tops in Spine Chillers.
You are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 104.9, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. I think about a nursery, and I picture curly heads, and one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. You're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. Just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces. Hope you're all having a fantastic weekend. Tonight, we have two radio gems for you, both from the Suspense series. The Suspense series began in 1942 and continued to be about the last program to go off the air in the golden age of radio drama about 1963. If you have any questions for me, please don't hesitate to write to Bruce at RadioMasterpieces.com. I'll be sure and answer you. We're going to listen to some wonderful music tonight, and we're going to get two great plays. One is a science fiction by Ray Bradbury, and the other one was so great that they actually made it into a movie with Burt Lancaster and Barbara Stanwyck. Thank you so much for tuning in. And now, Without further ado, let's go into our great radio drama.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. It is called Zero Hour by Ray Bradbury.
What a game. Such excitement they hadn't known in years. Mink talked earnestly to someone near the rose bush, though no one was there. Then the two little girls, shouting, laughing at each other, such fun, such tremulous joy. Mink ran into the house all dirt and sweat. For her few years, she was loud and strong and definite. And her mother, Mrs. Morris, peeling vegetables at the sink, watched with amusement as her daughter threw into a sack old pots and tools and things which were relegated to child play.
Oh, my goodness, Mink, what's going on?
Oh, the most exciting game ever, just ever.
Oh?
It's all right, I take these things, Mom.
Well, just don't dent them and it's all right.
Thanks, Mom, we won't. Bye.
All right, dear. Oh, what's the name of the game, dear?
Invasion.
Invasion?
Invasion. And in the garden now, a serious concentration. Mink with an assortment of pots, pans, and wrenches, forks, spoons. And her friend Anna, a little younger, tongue in teeth, taking notes on a pad.
This, this, and this. What's it say next?
Wait a minute, Mink.
Well, hurry up.
4, 9, 7, A, and B, and X.
4, 9, 7, A, and B, and X.
A fork and a string and a hexagonal.
A fork and a string and a hexagonal. What do we do next, Mr. Drill?
And then Mink talking to the rosebush again. And to her own satisfaction, at least, receiving some kind of answer which she relayed to Anna.
Triangle.
How do you spell it?
Oh, any old way. Doesn't matter. Now write beam.
I haven't got triangle yet.
Well, hurry. 0 hours by 5 o'clock. We haven't got all day.
Then time out from invasion for lunch. Mink bolted down the soup and coincidentally crammed a sandwich into her mouth.
Now you slow down, Mink. Whatever's waiting will wait a few minutes longer.
But I can't. Drill's waiting for me.
Drill? Well, that's a peculiar name. Is he a new boy in the neighborhood, dear?
He's new, all right.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen him. Which one is Drill?
Oh, he's just around. You'll make fun. Everybody makes fun. All the kids do.
Well, I don't think that's very nice. Is Drill shy?
Yes, in a way. I don't know. I gotta go now, Mama, if we're gonna have the invasion.
Now, you finish your milk, miss. Who's invading what?
Martians invading Earth from up there.
Oh, I see. And Drill's a Martian?
I think so. He's had a very hard time getting here.
I should imagine.
They couldn't figure out a way to attack Earth. How to get in or something. And Drill says they have to do it by surprise. And even get help from your enemy.
Oh, a fifth column, huh?
Uh-huh. And all this time they haven't been able to figure out how to attack until one day they thought of children.
Well, that was bright of them.
And they thought of how grown-ups are so busy, they never look under rose bushes or on lawns.
Oh, that's where Drill is now, under the rose bush?
Uh-huh, with all his friends, too. And there's something about kids under 11 with imagination. It's real funny to hear Drill talk.
Well, it must be. You better run along out if you want to have your invasion before dark. Oh, and bath tonight. School tomorrow, you know.
Drill says I won't have to take any more baths.
Oh, he does he?
And we can stay up till 10 o'clock.
Well, your friend Mr. Drill had better mind his P's and Q's, or I'm going to call up his
mother. That's just it. Drill says you're dangerous because you don't believe in Martians, just like you think Drill's a kid. Well, he's not. And they're going to let us run the world when they get in, all of us kids. And I might even be queen.
Well, that's nice, dear. Now run along.
Mom?
What is it, dear?
Mom, when the invasion comes, we'll have to get rid of you and Daddy. But I'll be sure it won't hurt very much.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot. Hello?
Hello, Mary. How are things in New York?
Oh, Helen, how nice. Are you in town?
Oh, no, I'm in Danbury. I was just thinking of you and thought I'd call.
Oh, it's long distance, though. You shouldn't.
Oh, I can afford 3 minutes. How's Henry?
Fine. And Bill?
Oh, just fine. What about Mink?
Oh, wonderful. Noisier than ever. Oh, she's got a new game now. It's taken the place of hopscotch. Invasion.
Is she playing that, too?
Well, yes. Are yours?
Same thing. Some kind of geometric jacks, I suppose. Isn't it a screen? You know, all the kids their age are playing it up here. Timmy's got a crush on some guy named Drill. I think that's what it is.
Oh, it must be a new password. Mink likes him, too.
Well, I didn't know it got to New York. Word of mouth, I suppose. You know, kids. Funniest thing, I got a letter from my sister in Boston. She says her kids are playing it, too. It's just sweeping the country.
Well, I wonder where they learned it.
Don't ask me. All I know is what Timmy told me at lunch. 0 hours at 5 o'clock.
When?
Today. That's when the invasion's going to be. Oh, these kids and their imagination.
And they talked a little more. Schoolgirl friends. Casual woman talk. But Mrs. Morris was thoughtful. She was thinking of other things, of adults, of children with imagination, rose bushes, dimensions. She thought of how much she had forgotten about being a child, and she wondered about Mink and all the kids who were at that moment playing invasion.
A kiss for Mink.
I will, and to Bill and the kids.
Thanks. Bye.
Goodbye.
An hour drowsed by. It was 3 o'clock. There was an occasional hum inside the coolness of the house as a car passed outside. The street was lined with good, green, and peaceful trees. And all across the city, in other gardens, in other places, children under 11 were excitedly playing a game, talking to rose bushes and grass lawns, trees and shrubs. Even children in apartment houses, high in the air, conferring with potted plants, cactus, and ivy. Mrs. Morris finished her housework and went to the kitchen.
Oh, hello, dear.
Hi, Mom. Can I have a glass of water?
Of course, I'll get it.
Pi r squared, 27, a over 56 to the 7th degree, x t 7.
What, dear?
Oh, nothing, Mom.
Well, here you are.
Thanks.
How are things going?
Huh?
The invasion.
Oh, that.
Yes, that.
Almost finished. When everything's right, Drill said we should be ready on time.
5 o'clock?
That's right. How'd you know?
Helen called me from Danbury. She says that Timmy's playing it, too.
Hey, that's keen.
I guess all the kids are, aren't they?
No, not all of them. Not guys like Jimmy Wood and Bob Wilson. They're growing up and they make fun of us. They're worse than parents. They just won't believe in Drill. They're so smart just because they're growing up. You'd think they'd know better. They were little only a couple years ago. Well, we'll get rid of them first. Drill says it's okay to kill them first.
Aminka, I don't like that kind of talk. Do you hear me? I don't like it at all.
Oh,
now,
Mom.
I mean it. You keep on that way and there'll be no more playing. You'll have to tell Anna to go home and you'll stay inside until bedtime.
I'm sorry.
Well, I should think so.
Thanks for the water, Mom.
Mink.
Yes, Ma?
What did those numbers mean?
What numbers?
Those numbers you were saying to yourself before.
Oh, that. They're the things we have to do to get Drill and his friends out. That's all.
Look, dear. Why don't you and Anna go down to the drugstore and get some ice cream? You don't even have to use your allowance. I'll pay for it.
Haven't got time, Mom. Thanks.
Well, I'd never believe I'd hear you say that.
I gotta go now, Mom.
Oh, wait a minute. Mink, I want you to tell me the truth. What is this invasion silliness?
It isn't silly. It's just a game, that's all. Mom, we're just playing an invasion. Excuse me, I gotta get back now. I'll see you later.
It was a game called Invasion. Mrs. Morris's little girl, Mink, was playing it. So was Mink's friend, Anna, and all the other children under 11. It was called Invasion, and 0 hour was to be at 5 o'clock. Mrs. Morris was disturbed. She wasn't sure why, but there was something about parents shutting ears and eyes to what was happening. And because she was disturbed, she did something she didn't usually do. She called her husband at the office.
Hello, dear.
Oh, hello, Henry. I'm sorry to bother you, but Miss Maxson said you weren't busy.
Oh, not too. I should be able to get home early today. Everything all right?
Yes.
You all right?
I'm fine.
Mink?
Oh, she's... Henry.
What?
Oh, nothing. I just wanted to talk to you for a minute. That's all.
Listen, are you sure you're all right?
Oh, yes.
Mink been getting on your nerves?
Not really.
Well, you tell her to behave, or when I come home, she and I are going to have a talk. As a matter of fact, she's been a little fresh lately, and I don't think it's good.
Well, she's playing outside. She's fine.
Honey, is something wrong?
Why, no, I told you I was just thinking about you and wanted to talk, that's all. Nothing wrong with that.
Not a thing.
You go back to your work, dear. I'll see you soon.
All right.
What time do you think you'll be home?
Oh, about 5, maybe a little earlier.
5? Oh.
Hey, what? Come on, what?
Well, I was just thinking. Nothing really, just Mink and you and me. Goodbye, dear.
You are okay, aren't you?
Yes, I'm fine. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Another hour passed, and it was 4:30. The day began to wane. The sun lowered in the peaceful blue sky. Shadows lengthened on the green lawn. Outside it was quiet. The two little girls more intent than ever upon their endless movement of design and pattern with the implements before them. Mrs. Morris watched from the window, and she had never known Mink to have such powers of concentration. She had turned on the radio and sat drinking a cup of coffee and turned over her thoughts.
Children. 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 Love and hate side by side. Sometimes children love you and hate you all in 1/2 a second. Strange children. Do they ever forget or forgive the whippings and the harsh, strict words of command? I wonder. I wonder. How can you forget or forgive those over and above you? Those tall, silly dictators. Those parents.
Mom!
Oh, what is it, dear?
Have we got a piece of lead pipe and a hammer?
Well, I don't know. They might be in the garage. What do you want them for?
We just need them.
Well, if you tell me what for, dear, maybe I can...
Thanks, Mom.
Is something wrong?
Drill stuck halfway. If we could get him all the way through, it'd be easier. Then all the others could come through after him.
Well, can I help?
Thanks, Mom. I can fix it.
You better get through, Mink. I want you to take your bath before your father comes home.
All right.
Now, he's coming home early. And Mink... Mink!
Mink had disappeared behind the shrubs, and Mrs. Morris knew it was ridiculous to make an issue of it. Besides, what was the issue? Invasion? Drill? 0 hour? Unaccountably, a cool breeze came up, and although normally for that time of year it would have been a relief, Mrs. Morris felt a chill. She closed the window. Time passed. A curious, waiting silence came upon the street, deepening. Then from the living room, Mrs. Morris heard... "5 o'clock. 0 hour. 0 hour. It had come. And now it had gone. But was the clock right? And Mrs. Morris, knowing how foolish it was, knowing it, went to the phone and dialed.
Oh, silly. It's silly.
Hear the tone, the time will be exactly 4:54 and 20 seconds.
Four 54 and 20 seconds. And Mrs. Morris knew that it wasn't as silly as she had thought, because it wasn't 5 o'clock yet. Not 0 hour yet. Then the car drove up into the driveway.
Hi, mate. How's it going? Hi, Anna.
Hi, Daddy.
Bye. Hello, Mr. Morris.
Got a kiss for your old man?
Haven't got time now, Daddy.
Well, that's a nice thing. What are you doing?
We're playing Invasion.
Oh, swell. Your mother in the house?
Uh-huh.
Okay, be good.
I will. There are in a few minutes, Daddy.
All right, I'll be ready.
Mrs. Morris heard him chuckle. Then he stepped up the walk to the front door.
Mary?
I'm in the living room, dear.
Oh, hi. Our daughter didn't have time for a kiss. How about you?
A hard day?
Not particularly.
Would you like a cocktail?
You read my mind.
Martini?
Perfect. Anything exciting happened today?
No. Oh, Helen called.
Oh.
From Danbury. I told her she was crazy, but she just felt like calling.
Like you calling me this afternoon crazy, huh? Hey, what was that all about?
Well, I told you. I just wanted to. Mm.
Hey, incidentally, what's this new game the kids are playing? Invasion. That's a nice depressing thought. Is she all right? Come to think of it, she looked kind of funny.
She's all right. What's the time, Henry?
A couple of minutes after 5. Why?
No, the clock's wrong. By your watch.
Oh, I've got 2 minutes, too. I'm probably slow. You got something on the stove?
No, I just wondered.
Honey. Hey, look at me. What's the matter?
Nothing, really.
Now?
No, really.
Mink's been up to something.
No, of course
then
not.
What?
I guess I'm a little tired, upset, that's all.
You want to go out for dinner?
Oh, no, I've got a steak here.
I'll tell you what, I'll barbecue it. How'll that be?
Oh, fine. What was that?
What?
Well, I thought I heard something.
Well, I didn't.
I must have been imagining it.
Hey, you are jumpy. Why don't you have a drink? It'll do you good.
No, I don't want one. What's the time?
Mary, what is this? Now, I mean it. Something's wrong, and I want to know.
Oh, it's silly. It's so silly. I'm on edge, that's all.
Mary.
I am.
I don't like this. That kid's done something, hasn't she? I'm going to get her in.
No, Henry, please, don't. She hasn't. It's nothing at all. I just...
What's that?
I don't know.
Those kids haven't got anything dangerous out there, have they? I noticed a lot of junk lying around.
I thought it was a game. She wouldn't have done it herself. They made her do it.
What the devil?
Well, maybe you better go out and tell them to stop playing now. It's after 5. You tell Mink to put off the invasion until tomorrow. Tell her!
It is coming from outside. What are they up to? I'd better take a look. Mink! Mink! Good Lord! Bombs! Bombs! They're bombing!
No, it's upstairs. I know it is. In the attic. That's where it is.
Mary! Mary, it is not up there! Mary!
He ran after her, confused, not a little frightened. She seemed to know something.
In the attic. That's where it is.
Her mind had worked that quickly. Any excuse to get him away from the outside, to get him upstairs to the attic in time. And outside, there were more explosions, and they could hear the children screaming with delight.
It is not in the attic. It's outside. Mink's out there. What's the matter with you?
No. I'll show you. Hurry. Get inside, quick. Now we're safe until tonight.
Are you crazy? Why did you throw that key away?
Oh, maybe we can sneak out later. Maybe we can escape.
For heaven's sake, the kid's out there. Do you want her to get killed?
Oh, you don't know. You don't. We've got to stay here. We've got to. It's horrible. We've got to. You've got to stay here with me.
At this point, I don't know how the devil I can get out. Where's that light cord?
Oh, be quiet. Please be quiet. They'll hear us. They'll find us. Oh, Henry, please.
Well, who's going to answer the telephone? There's that noise again. Oh. It's in this house. Mary, what is this? Mary, what's happening? You know, now answer me. Stop it, Mary, stop it. Somebody's downstairs. Who's down there? Who?
Oh, no.
Oh, hush. Please, please be quiet. They might go away. Please, please.
And between his wife's terror and the electric humming from below, Mr. Morris felt a great fear. They trembled together in silence in the attic. Mr. and Mrs. Morris, parents of the little girl. Then they heard steps coming up the stairs and a voice.
Mommy! Daddy! Where are you?
And a queer, cold light became visible under the door crack. A strange odor and the alien sound of eagerness in Mink's voice was almost more than they could bear. Each wanted to scream. And another sound. And the attic lock melted. Mink. Mink, with bright little eyes and tousled hair, peered inside. And behind her, tall, wavering blue shadows. Frightful shadows.
Something very strange and mystic happened to me. Something realistic and as weird as can be. Something that I feared somehow is now endeared to me. What funny feeling, odd and yet so true. Did a thing like this ever happen to you? Did you ever see a dream walking? Well, I did you ever hear a dream talking? Well, I did you ever have a dream thrill you with will you be mine? Oh, it's so grand and it's too divine. Did you ever see a dream dancing? Well, I did you ever see a dream romancing? Well, I did you ever see heaven right in your arms saying I love you, I do? Well, the dream that was walking and the dream that was talking and the heaven in my arms was you. A dream walking? Well, I did you ever hear a dream talking? Well, I did you ever have a dream thrill you with will you be mine? Now it's so grand, then it's too divine. Did you ever see a dream dancing? Well, I did you ever see a dream romancing? Well, I did you ever see heaven right in your arms saying I love you, I do? Well, the dream that was walking and the dream that was talking and the heaven in my arms was you.
Valley 103.1.
Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, we bring you, in response to requests from many thousands of listeners, Miss Agnes Moorehead in one of the most famous suspense plays this series has ever presented, Sorry, Wrong Number.
again.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 40098 now for the last 3/4 of an hour, and the line is always busy. I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
I will be glad to try that number for you. One moment, please.
I don't see how it could be busy all this time. It's my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I'm all alone here in the house. My health is very poor, and I've been feeling so nervous all day.
Ringing Murray Hill 40098.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, is Mr. Stevenson there?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? George?
Yes, sir, this is George speaking.
Hello? Who's this? What number am I calling, please?
I'm here with our client.
Oh, good. Is everything okay? Is the coast clear for tonight?
Yes, George. He says the coast is clear for tonight.
Okay, okay.
Where are you now?
In a phone booth. Don't worry, everything's okay.
Very well. You know the address.
Yes, I know, I know. Let's see now. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer.
That's right, 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And be sure that all the lights downstairs are out. There should be only one light visible from the street.
Okay, okay.
What's that? Oh, just a minute, George. Oh, our client tells me that at 11:15, a train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window is open and she should scream.
Hello, what number is this, please?
Okay, I understand. That's 11:15, the train, huh?
Yeah. Do you remember everything else, George?
Yeah, yeah. I'll make it quick, as little blood as possible, because our client does not wish to make her suffer long. Huh?
That's right. You'll use a knife?
Yes, a knife will be okay. Then afterwards, I remove the rings and the bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer because our client wishes it to look like a simple robbery. Don't worry, everything's okay. I know.
Oh, how awful. How unspeakably awful.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've just been cut off.
I'm sorry, what number were you calling?
Why, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 40098, but it wasn't. Some wires must have got crossed. I was cut into a wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful thing, something about a murder. And, operator, you'll simply have to retrace that call at once.
I beg your pardon. May I help you?
Oh, I know it was a wrong number, and I had no business listening, but these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor, innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge. And we've got to stop them. We've just got to.
What number are you calling?
Well, that doesn't matter. This was a wrong number, and you dialed it for me, and we've got to find out what it was immediately.
What number did you call?
Oh, why are you so stupid? What time is it? You mean to tell me you can't find out what that number was just now?
I'll connect you with the chief operator.
Oh, I think it's perfectly shameful. Now look. Look, it was obviously a case of some little slip of the finger. I told you to try Murray Hill 40098 for me. You dialed it, but your finger must have slipped, and I was connected with some other number, and I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again on purpose. Why you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 40098 in the same sort of careless way.
Murray Hill 40098, I will try to get it for you.
Well, thank you.
I am sorry, Murray Hill 40098 is busy. I will call you
in... Operator! Operator!
Your call, please.
You didn't try to get that wrong number at all. I asked you explicitly, and all you did was dial correctly.
I am sorry. What number are you calling?
Well, can't you for once forget what number I'm calling and do something for me? Now, I want to trace that call. It's my civic duty, and it's your civic duty to trace that call and apprehend those dangerous killers. And if you won't...
I will connect you with the chief operator.
Well, please. This talk, I can't make you understand. So much time.
This is the chief operator.
Oh, chief operator. I want you to trace a call, a telephone call, immediately. I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it's absolutely necessary that it be tracked down because it was about a murder that someone's planning, a terrible, cold-blooded murder of a poor, innocent woman tonight at 11:15.
I see.
Can you trace it for me? Can you track down those men?
Well, I'm not certain. It depends.
Depends on what?
It depends on whether the call is still going on. If it's a live call, we can trace it on the equipment. If it's been disconnected, we can't.
Disconnected?
If the parties have stopped talking to each other.
Oh, but of course they must have stopped talking to each other by now. That was at least 5 minutes ago, and they didn't sound like the type who would make a long call.
Well, I can try tracing it. May I have your name, please?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
Your telephone number, please.
Plaza 32098. But if you go on wasting all
why
this time...
Why do you want this call traced, please?
Why? Oh, no reason. I merely felt very strongly that something ought to be done about it. These men sounded like killers. They're dangerous. They're going to murder this woman at 11:15 tonight, and I thought the police ought to know.
Have you reported this to the police?
Well, no, not yet.
You want this call checked purely as a private individual?
Yes, yes, but meanwhile...
I'm sorry, Mrs. Stevenson, but I'm afraid we couldn't make this check for you and trace the call just on your say-so as a private individual. We'd have to have something more official.
Oh, for heaven's sake. You mean to tell me I can't report that there's going to be a murder without getting tied up in all this red tape? Why, it's perfectly idiotic. Well, all right, I'll call the police.
Thank you. I'm sure that would be the best way to do it.
Ridiculous. Curse such nonsense. Utter nonsense.
Your call, please?
The police department. Get me the police department, please.
Thank you. Ringing the police department.
Oh, can't you ring them direct? This time.
Police station, precinct 43, Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police department, this is Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Smythe Stevenson of 53 North Sutton Place. I'm calling up to report a murder.
Huh?
I mean, the murder hasn't been committed yet, but I just overheard plans for it over the telephone, over a wrong number that the operator gave me. I've been trying to trace down the call myself, but everybody is so stupid, and I guess in the end you're the only people who could do anything.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a perfectly definite murder. I heard their plans distinctly. Two men were talking, and they were going to murder some woman at 11:15 tonight. She lived in a house near a bridge. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
And there was a private patrolman on the street. He was going to go around for a beer on 2nd Avenue. And there was some third man, a client, who was paying to have this poor woman murdered. They were going to take her rings and bracelets and use a knife. Well, it's unnerved me dreadfully, and I'm not well.
Yeah. Yes, I see. When was all this, ma'am?
About 8 minutes ago. Oh, then you can do something. You do understand.
What's your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your address?
5353 North Sutton Place. That's near a bridge, the Queensboro Bridge, you know. And we have a private patrolman on our street. And 2nd Avenue is the next...
What was that number you were calling?
Murray Hill 40098. But that wasn't the number I overheard. I mean Murray Hill 40098 is my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I was trying to reach him to ask him to come home.
Yeah.
I'm an invalid, you know, and it's the maid's night off, and I hate to be alone, even though he says I'm perfectly safe as long as I have the telephone right beside my bed.
Well, we'll look into it, Miss Stevenson, and see if we can check it with the telephone company.
But the telephone company said they couldn't check the call if the parties had stopped talking. I've already taken care of that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, and personally, I feel you ought to do something far more immediate and drastic than just check the call. What good does checking the call do if they stop talking? By the time you track it down, they'll already have committed the murder.
We'll take care of it, don't you worry.
I'd say the whole thing calls for a search, a complete and thorough search of the whole city. I'm very near the bridge, and I'm not far from 2nd Avenue, and I know I'd feel a whole lot better if you sent around a radio car to this neighborhood at once.
Well, what makes you think the murder is going to be committed in your neighborhood, ma'am?
Well, I don't know. Only the coincidence is so horrible. 2nd Avenue, the patrolman, the bridge.
Yeah, well, 2nd Avenue, you know, is a very long street, ma'am, and you know how many bridges there are in the city of New York alone. Not to mention Brooklyn, Staten Island, and Queens, and the Bronx.
I know all that.
How do you know there isn't some little house on Staten Island, on some little 2nd Avenue you never heard about? How do you know they were even talking about New York at all?
But I heard the call in the New York dialing system.
Well, maybe it was a long-distance call you overheard.
No.
You know, telephones are funny things. Now, look, lady, why don't you look at it this way? Supposing you hadn't broken in on that telephone call. Supposing you got your husband the way you always do. You wouldn't be so upset, would you?
Well, I suppose not, only it sounded so inhuman, so cold-blooded.
Well, a lot of murders are plotted in this city every day, ma'am. We manage to prevent almost all of them, but a clue this kind is so vague, there isn't much more use to us than no clue at all.
But surely you can...
Unless, of course, you have some reason for thinking this call was phony and that someone may be planning to murder you.
Me? Oh, no. No, I hardly think so. I mean, why should anybody?
Well,
I'm alone all day and night. I see nobody except my maid Eloise. She's a big 200-pounder.
Yeah.
She's too lazy to bring up my breakfast tray. And the only other person is my husband, Albert. He's crazy about me. He adores me. He waits on me hand and foot and has scarcely left my side since I took sick 12 years ago.
Yeah, well, then there's nothing for you to worry about. And now if you'll just leave the rest of this to us, we'll take care of it.
But what will you do? It's so late. It's nearly 11 now.
We'll take care of it, lady.
Well, will you broadcast it all over the city and send out squads and warn your radio cars to watch out, especially in suspicious neighborhoods like mine?
Yeah, lady, I said we'd take care of it. Now, I've got a couple of other matters here on my desk that require immediate attention. So good night, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh, you idiot. Now, why did I hang up the phone like that? Now he'll think I am a fool. Oh, why doesn't Albert come home? Why doesn't he? The operator again. Oh.
Your call, please.
Operator, for heaven's sake, will you ring that Murray Hill 40098 number again? I can't think what's keeping him so long.
I will try it for you.
Oh, got me so nervous. Oh.
I'm sorry, Murray Hill 40098 is busy. I will call you...
I can hear it. You don't have to tell me. I know it's busy. Oh. If I could only get out of this bed for a little while. If I could get a breath of fresh air or just lean out of the window and see the street. Hello? Albert? Hello? Hello? Oh, what's the matter with his phone? Hello? 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 Oh, for heaven's sake, who is this? Hello? 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 What are they trying to do to me? Oh. Oh. Answer somebody. Answer somebody.
Your call, please.
Hello, operator. I don't know what's the matter with this telephone tonight, but it's positively driving me crazy. I've never seen such inefficient, miserable service. Now, look. Look, I'm an invalid, and I'm very nervous, and I'm not supposed to be annoyed. But if this keeps on much longer...
What seems to be the trouble, please?
Well, everything's wrong. I haven't had one bit of satisfaction out of one call I've made this evening. The whole world could be murdered for all you people care. And now, my phone keeps ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing every 5 seconds or so, and when I pick it up, there's no one there.
I am sorry. If you will hang up, I will test it for you.
I don't want you to test it for me. I want you to put that call through, whatever it is, at once.
I'm afraid I cannot do that.
You can't! And why? Why, may I ask?
The dial system is automatic. If someone is trying to dial your number, there is no way to check whether the call is coming through the system or not, unless the person who is trying to reach you complains to his particular operator.
Well, of all the stupid... And meanwhile, I've got to sit here in my bed, suffering every time that phone rings, imagining everything.
I will try to check the trouble
check
for
it,
you, madam.
Check it, that's all anybody can do. Oh, what's the use of talking to you? You're so stupid. I'll fix her. All the impudent. How dare she speak to me like that? How dare she speak to me like that? No satisfaction out of anybody. Lancer.
Your call, please.
Young woman, I don't know your name, but there are ways of finding you out. And I'm going to report you to your superiors for the most unpardonable rudeness and insolence that has ever been my privilege. Give me the business office at once.
You may dial that number direct.
Dial it direct? I'll do no such thing. I don't even know the number.
The number is in the directory, or you may secure it by dialing...
Listen here, you! Oh, what's the use? Oh, for heaven's sake, I'm going out of my mind, out of my mind. Hello, hello, stop ringing, do you hear? Answer me, who is this? Do you realize you're driving me crazy? Who's calling me? What are you doing it for? Now stop it, stop it, stop it, I say. Hello, hello, if you don't stop ringing, I'm going to call the police, do you hear? The police! Oh, if Albert would only come home. Oh, let it ring. Let it go on ringing. It's a trick of some kind. I won't answer it. I won't answer it. I won't. Even if it goes on ringing all night, I won't answer it. I won't answer it. Now? Now what's the matter? Why do they stop ringing all of a sudden? What time is it? Where's my clock? Where is it? 5 to 11. They've decided something. They're sure I'm home. They've heard my voice answering them just now. That's why they've been ringing me. Why no one has answered me. Oh. Oh. Oh, where is she? Where is she? Why doesn't she answer?
Your call, please.
Where were you just now? Why didn't you answer at once? Give me the police department.
Sorry, the line is busy. I will call you.
Busy? But that's impossible. The police department can't be busy. There must be other lines available.
The line is busy. I will try to get them for you later.
No, no, I've got to speak to them now. It may be too late. I've got to talk to someone.
What number do you wish to speak to?
I don't know, but there must be someone to protect people beside the police department. A detective agency.
You will find agencies listed in the classified directory.
But I don't have a classified. I mean, I'm too nervous to look it up, and I don't know how to use the book.
I will connect you with information. Perhaps she will be able to help you.
No, no! Oh, you're being spiteful, aren't you? You don't care, do you, what happens to me? I could die, and you wouldn't care. Oh, stop it! Stop it! I can't stand anymore! Hello, what do you want? Stop ringing, will you? Stop it!
Hello? Is this Plaza 32099?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. This is Plaza 32099.
This is Western Union. I have a telegram here for Mrs. Albert Stevenson. Is there anyone there to receive the message?
I am Mrs. Stevenson.
The telegram is as follows. Mrs. Albert Stevenson, 53 North Sutton Place, New York, New York. Darling, terribly sorry. Tried to get you for last hour, but line busy. Leaving for Boston 11 p.m. tonight on urgent business. Back tomorrow afternoon. Keep happy. Love, signed Albert.
Oh, no.
Do you wish us to deliver a copy of the message?
No. No, thank you.
Thank you, madam. Good night.
Good night. No. Oh, no. I don't believe it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Not when he knows I'll be all alone. It's some trick. It's some trick. Some fiendish trick. I know it.
Your call, please.
Operator. Try that Murray Hill 40098 number for me just once more, please.
You may dial that number direct.
Oh. Oh, Albert, how could you? How could you? Oh, but I can't be alone tonight. I can't. If I'm alone one more second, I'll go mad. I don't care what he says or what the expense is. I'm a sick woman. I'm entitled to some consideration.
This is information. May I help you?
I want the telephone number of Henschley Hospital.
Henschley Hospital? Do you have the street address?
No, no, it's somewhere in the 70s. It's a very small, private, and exclusive hospital where I had my appendix out 2 years ago. Henschley, H-E-N-C-H-L...
One moment, please.
Please hurry, and please, what is the time?
You may find out the time by dialing Meridian 71212.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I've no time to be dialing.
The number of Henchley Hospital is Butterfield 89970.
You.
Hospital. Good evening.
Nurse's registry.
Who was it you wished to speak to, please?
I want the nurse's registry at once. I want a trained nurse. I want to hire her immediately for the night.
I see. And what is the nature of the case, madam?
Nerves. I'm very nervous. I need soothing and companionship. You see, my husband is away, and I'm...
Have you been recommended to us by any doctor in particular, madam?
No, but I really don't see why all this catechizing is necessary. I want a trained nurse. I was a patient in your hospital 2 years ago, and after all, I do expect to pay this person for attending me.
We quite understand that, madam. But these are war times, you know.
I...
Registered nurses are very scarce just now, and our superintendent has asked us to send people out only on cases where the physician in charge feels it is absolutely necessary.
Well, it is absolutely necessary. I'm a sick woman. I'm very upset, very. I'm alone in this house, and I'm an invalid, and tonight I overheard a telephone conversation that upset me dreadfully. A woman's going to be killed when a train... In fact, if someone doesn't come at once, I'm afraid I'll go out of my mind.
I see. Well, I'll speak to Miss Phillips as soon as she comes in. What is your name,
Miss
madam?
Miss Phillips. And when do you expect her in?
I really couldn't say. She went out to supper at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? Oh, it's not 11 yet. Oh, my clock had stopped. I thought it was running down. What time is it?
Just 15 minutes past 11.
What was that?
What was what, madam?
That clicked just now in my own telephone. As though someone has lifted the receiver off the hook, off the extension telephone downstairs.
I didn't hear it, madam. Now, about
but this... I did! There's someone in this house. Someone downstairs in the kitchen. And they're listening to me now. I won't pick it up. I won't let them hear me. I'll be quiet and they'll think. But if I don't call someone now, while they're still down there, there'll be no time.
Your call, please?
Operator, I'm in desperate trouble.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you. Please speak louder.
Oh, dear, there's someone listening. Can you hear me now?
I am sorry.
But you've got to hear me. Please, you've got to help me. There's someone in this house. Someone who's going to murder me, and you've got to get in touch with... There it is. He's put it down. He's put down the extension phone. He's coming upstairs. He's coming up the stairs. Give me the police department. The police department.
One moment, please. I will connect you.
Okay. Please. Oh, no. Oh, no, come here. Oh, please, I didn't do anything. Oh, no, come here, my man. Please, don't.
Police department? Well, I'm sorry. Must have got the wrong number. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
Strikes you're out at the old ball game.
Mr. Kelly loves baseball games.
Why, I know
all the players. I know all the names. I was raised with a baseball bat.
Well, fancy that. Fancy that. You know a man named DiMaggio?
Well, I know him so well that I call him Joe.
Oh, this is really great.
Uh-huh.
Listen to the band. Get your red hot tear, get your red hot tear.
Rub hands, go good. You can't tell a player's a life without a scorecard.
Ice cold, toady pop, ice cold.
Get it here. Some peanuts.
I want some Cracker Jack.
We don't care if we never get back.
If we never get back,
we'll root, root, root for the whole.
I love their uniforms, and if they don't win, it's a shame.
For it's one, two,
three strikes, you're out at the old ball.
About this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
You are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 104.9, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.